at the sense doors. The teaching of the six sense spheres or doors is to be found in the contemplation of mind in the text we are following, the Satipatthana Sutta, which by now is familiar to you as the four establishments of mindfulness. After each section in the text, you will find this passage. In this way, he abides contemplating the body as a body, or feelings, mind states, and mental phenomena, internally, externally, and both internally and externally. What does this mean? It means that the focus of one's attention changes from the subjective, internal, to the objective, external, and by both is meant the understanding of the interrelationship or interdependence. The focus of the practice so far has been mainly introspective. Now the watchfulness or attentiveness can be expanded to include the external as well. That is, the attention is switched from the subjective to the objective. This is done by orientating to the sense spheres, which are about the relationship between oneself and the outer world. Practicing both internal and external satipatthanas can prevent self-absorption and achieve a skilled balance between introversion and extroversion. The importance of contemplation of the sense spheres is that it directs awareness to the six internal and external sense spheres and the fetters arising independent from them. Although a fetter arises dependent on sense and object, the binding force of such a fetter should not be attributed to the senses or objects themselves, but to the binding force of desire. A fetter is a shackle or something that causes bondage. 10 types of fetters are listed in the discourses that are to be abandoned. They are belief in a substantial and permanent self, doubt, dogmatic clinging to particular rules and rituals, sensual desire, aversion, and craving for immaterial existence, conceit, restlessness, and ignorance. All our experience is limited to the senses and their object, with the mind counted as the sixth. The five outer senses collect data only in the present, but mind, the sixth, where this information is collected and processed, adds memories from the past and hopes and fears of the future, as well as thoughts of various kinds relating to the present. Each of these sense spheres includes both the sense organ and the sense object. Besides the five physical senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body, and their respective objects, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, the mind is included as the sixth sense. Mind represents mainly the activity of thoughts, such as reasoning, memory, and reflection. Thus, all perceptual processes rely to some extent on the interpretive processes of the mind, since it makes sense, as it were, out of the other spheres. Here are the instructions for this practice from the text. He knows the eye, he knows form, and he knows the fetter that arises dependent on both. And he also knows how an unrisen fetter can arise, how an unrisen fetter can be removed, and how a future arising fetter can be prevented. He knows the ear. He knows sounds. He knows the fetter that arises dependent on both, and he knows the nose. He knows the odours, and he knows the fetters that arise dependent on them both. And he knows the tongue, he knows flavours, and he knows the fetters that arise dependent on them both. He knows the body, he knows the tangibles, and he knows the fetter that arises dependent on them both. He knows the mind, he knows mind objects, and he knows the fetter that arises dependent on them both. He also knows how an unrisen fetter can arise, how an unrisen fetter can be removed, and how a future arising fetter can be prevented. The task of mindfulness then is to observe the fetter that can arise in dependence on contact between sense and object, to develop awareness and detachment in regard to these six internal and external sense spheres is of crucial importance for the progress of insight, especially in regard to the deeply rooted sense of self that assumes it is an independent experiencer of sense objects. This information falls under six headings corresponding to the six bases: sight, sound, smell, taste, tangibles, and thoughts. Beyond these six bases of sense and their corresponding six objective bases, we know nothing. As one experience is limited by the senses and their object, with the mind as the sixth, the five outer senses collect data only in the present, but mind, the sixth, where this information is collected and processed, adds memories from the past and hopes and fears for the future, as well as thoughts of various kinds relating to the present. Orientating to a sense door. To make an orientation to a sense door, you start by literally coming to your senses: seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. These are the five sense doors or sense bases. The sixth sense is consciousness of, which is the mind base with its eye consciousness, ear consciousness, etc. You also need to be aware of the sense internally as well as externally, that is, the organs and their sense objects. Attentiveness or presence of mind at one of the sense doors during a sense impression is the way to practice. For example, most people are predominantly visual, so being attentive at the eye door allows you to notice the effects of the contact between the eye and the visible objects and how you are relating to them. The process is this: there is the eye, the internal base, and a visible object, the external base. With contact or a sense impression between the sense door and external object, consciousness arises followed by feeling. The moment of consciousness ordinarily is too rapid to catch, while the feeling tone can be more easily known and apprehended. This orientation to a sense door brings awareness of what is happening during the moment of contact or the sense impression, and with it the ability to monitor the associated feelings and consciousness that arise. When this feeling tone is apprehended, the link to liking and disliking is broken, and therefore one is free at that moment from conditioned suffering. This strategy of wise attention at a sense door ties in with the practical implementation of the teaching of dependent arising, in Pali, Paticca Samuppada. In fact, these two teachings, when combined, will lead to the purification of mind and the realizing of Nibbana. The law of dependent arising is a deep subject. It is the very essence of the Buddha's teachings. In the words of the Buddha, "He who sees dependent arising sees the Dhamma. He who sees the Dhamma sees dependent arising." There was an exchange between the Buddha and his personal attendant, Ananda, when Ananda casually remarked that he thought it was an easy thing to understand. The Buddha responded by saying, "Not so, Ananda. Don't ever say such a thing. It is because people do not understand origination that they are not able to penetrate it, that their minds are befuddled. Just as a ball of twine becomes all tangled up and knotted, just so are beings ensnared and unable to free themselves from the wheel of existence, the conditions of suffering and the states of hell and ruin. So how to untangle the tangle?" This is a quote from the Visuddhimagga, or the Path of Purification. The untangling can be done by insighting into dependent arising through the practice of attentiveness at a sense door. What we are experiencing now is from a series of events that arose because of previous conditions and is linked as a causal chain of effects, that is, cyclic existence or samsara. It is useful for the meditator to be familiar with the 12 links in the cycle of dependent arising. That is the principle of conditionality, which lies at the heart of the Buddha's teaching. They are the causal sequences responsible for the origination of samsaric suffering. The series of conditions can be mapped out in the abstract as follows. With ignorance as a condition, karma formations arise. With karma formations as a condition, consciousness arises. With consciousness as a condition, mentality, materiality arises. With mentality, materiality as a condition, sixfold sense bases arise. With a sixfold sense base as a condition, contact arises. With contact as a condition, feeling arises. With feeling as a condition, craving arises. With craving as a condition, attachment arises. With attachment as a condition, existence arises. With existence as a condition, birth arises. With birth as a condition, suffering arises. As the Vipassana meditator experiences the series of causal events that can be intercepted at the linkage between contact and feeling during a sense impression. The ability to do this gives one the potential of being free of the conditioned cycle of suffering that most people are unknowingly trapped in. Try an exercise in orientating to a sense door. Check. Where is your attention at this present moment? What sense impression is predominant now? Is it the eye door attracted by some visible object, the ear door taken by sounds, or the touch sensations of the body's contact on the cushion or chair you're sitting on? This moment is the time to establish the habit of being consciously present at a sense door and notice what is happening during a sense impression. So stop for a few minutes, choose a sense door, and most people are predominantly visual, although others can be more auditory inclined, and be attentive to what is happening there. What feeling is present? What is the quality of that feeling? Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And particularly note the changes. It is important to make a habit of asking yourself checking questions during your daily routine, as what sense am I at, what is happening there, and what are the associated feelings that arise. This is the enlightenment story of Bahia, the wooden road one, who was able to practice in this way. Bahia was originally a merchant who, when travelling at sea with all his merchandise, was shipwrecked and was cast ashore naked. He found bark to cover himself. Finding an old bowl on the beach, he went searching for alms food at a nearby village. The village people were impressed by his seeming austerities, and his reputation grew as an ascetic. He was tested when people offered him fine robes, but knowing that they would lose faith in him if he accepted, he refused, keeping up the deception. Bahia was installed in a temple and worshipped as an arahant, an enlightened one, so that in time he came to believe that he was actually an enlightened being himself. He lived impeccably as a meditator and gained good concentration powers. Sitting in meditation one day, it is said that a deva was able to persuade Bahia that he wasn't really enlightened at all, but that he should go and see the Buddha, an arahant who could help him. Bahia made the journey to where the Buddha was staying at the Savatthi monastery and found the Buddha was just about to go on the daily alms round. So Bahia was politely asked to come back at a more opportune time. But Bahia was insistent and implored the Buddha to instruct him in the essence of the Dhamma. The Buddha then responded with these brief instructions. Bahia, you should train yourself in this way. With the seen, there will be just the seen. With the heard, there will be just the heard. With the sensed, touch, taste, smell, there will be just the sensed. With the cognized, there will be just the cognized. When for you Bahia, there is merely the seen, heard, sensed, and cognized, then you will not be therein. Then you Bahia will be neither here nor there, nor within both. This is itself the end of suffering. Through this brief instruction, Bahia was immediately enlightened through non-clinging, thus becoming an arahant. Not long after the Buddha left, a cow fatally gored Bahia. When the Buddha returned from the alms round and heard that Bahia was dead, he arranged for his cremation and a stupa to be built for him. When asked what the destiny of Bahia was, the Buddha said that because he had grasped the meditation subject in the teacher's presence and practiced as instructed, Bahia had attained parinibbana, final enlightenment. The Buddha's succinct instruction to Bahia directs bare attention to whatever is seen, heard, sensed, or cognized. Bare attention simply registers whatever arises at a sense door without giving rise to biased forms of cognition and to unwholesome thoughts and associations. Maintaining bare attention in this way prevents the mind evaluating and proliferating the raw data of perception. By directing mindfulness to the early stages of the perceptual process, one can retrain cognition and thereby reshape perceptual patterns. The presence of mindfulness directly counteracts automatic and unconscious ways of reacting, while catching the beginning of the perceptual process prevents the latent tendencies, that is, unwholesome tendencies, from arising.